Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, January 7th. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. With me now, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, chairman of the House Democratic Caucus under Speaker Pelosi. He represents parts of Brooklyn and Queens and is a member of the House Judiciary Committee. And remember, he was also one of the House impeachment managers. And Congressman Jeffries, welcome back to WNYC. Just another Thursday morning.
Just another Thursday morning in Trump's America. Good morning, Brian. Great to be back with you, even under these circumstances.
Before I ask if another impeachment process is underway or should be underway, as some people are calling for, can you describe your experience of yesterday? Where were you when the Capitol was breached, and what was your experience of the rest of the day like?
Well, I was on the floor of the House of Representatives at the time. We were engaged in debate with respect to the seating of the electors connected to Arizona and or its certification, because that's early in the alphabet as we were going through the different states, and that was the first state that the Republicans objected to. The debate was ongoing, and there seemed to be some growing tension and movement by some of the Capitol Police officers who were in the chamber. The next thing that we saw was that Speaker Pelosi was expeditiously removed. And then the majority leader and the majority whip, Jim Clyburn and Steny Hoyer, who were in close proximity to where I was seated, were expeditiously removed. At that point, we knew something serious was taking place. Jim McGovern, who's the chair of the Rules Committee, replaced Nancy Pelosi in the chair, and the proceedings were ongoing. And then he was interrupted by, I believe, the sergeant at arms, who said, "There's a disturbance. Protesters are trying to breach the Capitol. We think we have it under control, and we'll continue to update you with respect to any additional information." Shortly thereafter, we started to hear noise indicating that they clearly were closer than perhaps initially communicated to us. Sergeant-at-Arms, I believe, or another security official, got up again and said that the protesters had breached the Capitol, were on the second floor, which is where the House chamber was located, ordered that the doors be barred, indicated to members that we needed to secure our gas masks that were underneath the seat, and be prepared to thereafter follow any directions with respect to an anticipated conflict. It was at that point that I think I realized, Brian, this is a serious situation that is unfolding.
And when you returned last night, what did you find? Was there vandalism? Was there graffiti? Was there theft? Were there written threats? What did the rioters leave behind?
It was clear vandalism, broken windows. Some of the debris had been removed and cleaned up, but there was urine. There was clear desecration. My office in the Capitol is located in close proximity to Steny Hoyer's office, which I understand was in part trashed. Steny Hoyer, since the passing of John Lewis, has had a sort of memorial poster board tribute to John Lewis. That was missing. I'm not sure whether it was desecrated, but it was missing, and it was in an area where the protesters had clearly penetrated, and I would think that would be a target for them.
Can I interrupt to ask if you take that as a sign of the racial nature of this riot?
Well, there's some complex issues connected to race that are clearly involved in what took place. This was a Trump-inspired insurrection directed by an out-of-control president who has incited violence from the moment that he arrived in the Congress, in the Capitol, all the way through this moment that we're in right now, and this was a logical consequence of his behavior. Now, with respect to the racial aspects of what took place, we know right-wing extremists were involved, and Trump has played footsie with them over and over and over again and embraced their ideology in a wide variety of ways. They were clearly white supremacists who were in the building. The big question that many of us are concerned with, Brian, is why were some of these domestic terrorists apparently escorted into the building and escorted out without any consequence? There's no circumstance where had those protesters, so-called, been of a different complexion, they would have been treated in that fashion.
So do you think that's a racial blind spot on the part of some Capitol Police officers? Or do you think that is, as John Heilman put it on MSNBC, evidence of a fifth column of some of them who actually were with the insurrectionists?
Well, I think we're going to need to do a comprehensive investigation to determine how this all unfolded in terms of the insurrection that took place, how it was organized, who was involved. There clearly was an intention to storm the Capitol. We need to hold every single person involved accountable. We've got video footage of many of these individuals. So I have to tell you, Brian, I was very disturbed in conversation with several members who are still in the Capitol area who live in close proximity to the Hill, and there are many hotels close to us, and there were Trump supporters, MAGA supporters, who were checking out in full Trump regalia, drinking coffee without masks, smiling as if nothing happened. It seems to me some of these people are probably the very same insurrectionists, which is why the whole situation is outrageous and why we need a complete and total investigation into the entire affair, internal and external.
Roman in the Bronx, you're on WNYC with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. Hello, Roman.
Hey, Brian. Hey, Hakeem. Glad to hear that you're safe.
Thank you, Roman.
Yeah, I just wanted to continue on this thread of the racism. I was in D.C. for the anniversary of Martin Luther King's march this summer and all throughout the city for protests for Black Lives Matter. And this morning it was pretty frustrating. I Googled how many people were arrested from last night's riots, and the first few articles were saying that it was reported around 13 or so people were arrested. And that was just extremely infuriating to see the lack of arrest and accountability compared to the scene when I was down there for peaceful protest, and seeing how the number of police officers that were down there. So I guess my question is what are your thoughts on the Capitol Police's response to a primarily white crowd versus a primarily black or brown crowd?
Well, it's a very important narrative, and I think we have to follow this thread to wherever the facts may lead us, and that has to be part of the investigation. But let's take a step back. This was an assault on our democracy, an assault on the seat of government, an assault on the peaceful transition of power. We were executing our constitutional responsibilities to certify the election of Joe Biden as the 46th president of the United States, pursuant to the Constitution. That is why the assault took place on this particular day. That is why it's been referred to by people across the ideological spectrum, including George W. Bush, as an insurrection. We also know that it was an insurrection that was inspired and perhaps directed by Donald J. Trump. We have to track his words, including what he may have said at the rally, which I haven't been able to review at this particular point in time, but we know things intensified after he spoke. And I believe he told people, go to the Capitol. That is an extraordinary breach of who we are as Americans. In fact, the only other time that the Capitol has been breached in a manner as violent and aggressive is in the early 1800s by the British, when they were still mortal enemies. This time, it was domestic enemies. And so we have to deal with that attack on who we are as Americans. Now, we also know that America is a country where systemic racism has been in the soil for the last 401 years. And so whenever there's an American story, race is generally involved. And we saw that yesterday, and that has to be part of what we deal with as well.
What, in your view as a lawyer and a member of the Judiciary Committee, would constitute the crime on the part of the president of incitement to riot? I mean, in theory, one could say, go to the Capitol, and it means go and hold a peaceful protest outside down the Capitol steps. Or it could mean go and do what these rioters did. Where's the legal line for incitement to riot?
I'd have to take a look at the statute, Brian, and then overlay the president's words. We do know what his actions have embodied over the last 4 years. So this is a culmination of the recklessness of the president's behavior for the last 4 years, and as a matter of fact, even prior to that, for 5 years, he perpetrated the racist lie that Barack Obama was not born in the United States of America. That was part of an effort to delegitimize Barack Obama's election. However, it also delegitimizes government. And when you delegitimize government, you provoke some to take violent action to overthrow the government that has been delegitimized. Trump bears responsibility for that. And that's clear. That's an open and shut case. But with respect to criminal liability, we've got to take a look at the statute. And I hope that there are investigators at both the Department of Justice, the FBI, as well as local authorities who will do just that.
Willie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. Hi, Willie. Thank you for calling in.
Brian, good morning. Good morning, Hakeem. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, listen. Donald Trump is behind all of this. He's always been transparent. He's always told us who he was, what he was going to do. And the other night, everybody seems to be surprised at what happened. I was born and raised in Selma, Alabama. I'm 68 years old. Those people that sat behind that desk are despicable, deplorable, and dirty. And he went and got the people that he knew that could carry out this terrorism. And you can coat it with anything you want to. It is against our society. They urinated up there, call it like it is. They did everything that they could to talk to us the way they would talk to us if we were black and standing in front of them. How are we going to go after that? How are we going to fix this? How are we going to arrest these people? Somebody died last night or yesterday. That young girl died over there in the Carolinas as well. And now you got a woman climbing over into the Capitol. What are these people doing up in there? There were black people up in there too. What are they doing up in there? Who let them in? President Trump let them in. How do you all fix this? They were on their knees in their chambers. They were not praying. They were hiding from bombs. Timothy McVeigh was locked up and then executed. Mr. Clinton was not playing. Something has to be done right now. Donald Trump has not followed any rules. What he does is his rules. We've got to wipe this thing clean. How do you do it?
Well, thank you, Willie, for laying out those facts in a very compelling fashion. And there's a lot to unpack there, as there should be, because there's a lot that was involved in what took place yesterday in the context of a violent attack on America and on our democracy. Let me start with just this response. One, I believe that every single person who breached the Capitol has got to be held accountable, treated like enemy combatants where appropriate, and charged with domestic terrorism. And the consequences of that will thereafter be decided by the courts. But this has to be treated with the greatest degree of seriousness because of what it was. This wasn't a peaceful protest. This was an intentional effort to halt the peaceful transition of power and to overthrow the government. And we've got to be clear and intentional in making sure that we state that and that there are consequences. The other interesting thing about what took place, and Brian, you know this, is that the president cannot just show up at the Capitol, right? That is part of our democratic tradition. He has to be invited. And the reason why the president cannot just show up without an invitation is because of the concept of separate and co-equal branches of government as part of checks and balances. And there was an assault on that yesterday. It was an assault by the presidency on the legislative branch to try to artificially hold on to power. And so there's a lot that needs to be unpacked, which is why we need a complete and full congressional investigation. We probably need a 9/11 style commission. And we definitely need criminal investigations at the local and federal level. And I'm so thankful that if this was going to occur, it would occur right now, where we will have a Biden Justice Department that will follow the facts, apply the law, be guided by the Constitution, and hold the treacherous seditionists accountable.
Teresa in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. Hello, Teresa.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Hakeem. Thanks both so much for your work. My heart's beating so fast. I'm a really big fan of the show. But anyway, I listened to your show yesterday, and I was watching all the live coverage. And what I'm curious about is, the media and public surprise and response to yesterday's insurrection, referring to it as something that could only happen in a quote-unquote third world country or developing country, when coups are something that our military and government have historically played a part in abroad and all over the world. So what is this refusal to look at what's going on now in the U.S. holistically, critically, and with historical precedent? Is this American exceptionalism not what might have gotten us here to having this president in the first place? We always talk about how he's a symptom of the larger flawed system, but by refusing to acknowledge that our wars abroad are also our wars at home, our history is completely intertwined with the present. And as a public and in the media, we're putting ourselves in these situations where we're always surprised and unprepared to deal with deep-rooted issues in the country, and continue to let things develop as is and culminating in these horrendous points, and continuing to let slow violence continue as well.
Teresa, thank you so much for your kind words and for your thoughts and for laying that out in a very compelling way and in a factual-based way. And you are correct that we have to take a look at our own history and involvement. That involves in Guatemala in the 1950s. That includes the Dominican Republic. I believe that was in 1965. I think Chile and Pinochet in 1973, on and on and on. We have a long history. of getting involved in the affairs of others in the so-called banana republics that were in fact made that way in part based on the financial and economic interests of the wealthy, well-off, and well-connected in our own country working in partnership with the CIA and others. It's not a wild conspiracy theory, that's historical record. And so I appreciate you pointing out that dynamic, and I think we should all be sensitive in how we discuss our own history and its application to what took place yesterday.
So you managed one impeachment of President Trump earlier last year. Now some people, including some members of your caucus, are calling for another one, even though there are just 13 days left before Biden is inaugurated. Is the Judiciary Committee taking any steps?
I'm going to try and convene a conversation tomorrow with the entire House Democratic Caucus at some point to both discuss what took place yesterday, perhaps hear from the Sergeant-at-Arms and the Capitol Police Chief, but then also to have a discussion amongst ourselves about holding this president accountable and what that might look like over the next 13 or 14 days. In my view, all options should be on the table, including impeachment, conviction, and removal. But it's got to be a caucus-wide decision to go into that direction. And we've got to at least figure out where the Senate is at in terms of holding this particular president accountable. The 25th Amendment is another option, but that, of course, is a process that is initiated by the cabinet in coordination with the vice president. Remains to be seen whether that will take place or not. I'm under no delusion that someone like Betsy DeVos will have the moral fortitude or courage to be part of that particular effort. There are some who are discussing censure, and then there are others who want to make sure that there's a full and complete criminal investigation into every single person, no matter what office they hold, who may have been involved in inciting that insurrection, and that's certainly something I support as well.
Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, chairman of the House Democratic Caucus, member of the Judiciary Committee, representative from parts of Brooklyn and Queens. Congressman Jeffries, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at wnyc.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.